And now they are talking to me about a new earthly life that I am to enter when I have mastered the spiritual laws and have become even more familiar with the heavenly world, when I have come into contact with various other spirit brothers and sisters from various worlds and also know their tasks. I am to bring this knowledge into my soul, into my feelings. And it was explained to me that with incorporation into human life all memory disappears and that only when one learns this spiritual language again in human life, will one become familiar with many things again and that it is easier for those who can familiarize themselves with this language in human life to affirm this world of the spirit, to believe in it and to work for the spirit. It is easier for those who honor and praise God, Christ and the Holy Spirit world. And one also understands the meaning of life better when one speaks this language. So I was given the task of telling you this. I entered the spiritual realm with a great burden. I was received and guided, but I was immediately well-intentioned and had the desire to strive upwards, because I became aware that in this world one person exercises dominion over all and that this one is God. So I wanted to submit myself to God and so I began my ascent in this way. So, dear brothers and sisters, I am returning to my world. May God give you the strength of faith, and may you never forget the spiritual language. Greetings. The subsequent answer to the questions was summarized by the then editor of the magazine Geistige Welt as follows. In the following question section, spirit friend Joseph clarified some of Richard's statements, which, as Joseph said, he was unable to deal with in sufficient detail due to lack of time. On the other hand, it is not the task of such a spirit to explain everything in every detail. One consequence of his alcoholism was the thirst that always tormented him more or less. The ragged spiritual clothing and barefootness, along with the primitively made, common objects in these lower stages of ascent, are to be understood as a sign of spiritual poverty. No one cares whether someone is barefoot, everyone is equal, and no one needs to be ashamed in front of the other. The higher one climbs, the more importance is placed on one's appearance. Dying people are wrapped in spiritual garments by helpful angelic beings on their deathbed during their twilight state, allowing them to appear in the spiritual world. The desire for shelter is still the, as in human life. All desires, as well as virtues and vices, are rooted in the soul. Earthbound people from the beyond, who are still used to earthly conditions, take it for granted that they have to live in a house. They simply do not find a loving welcome. The do-nothings, as they were called, are not yet capable of higher thoughts and are still too earthbound, and finally make progress with the help of higher beings when they have become insightful. Others are prepared for a new earthly life with gentle force. It always depends on the burden and receptiveness of the individual. People try to persuade and advise everyone, but it is like with people, some are willing and obedient, others are unteachable, and then one is prepared for the new human incarnation with gentle force. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Richard and questions answered by spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Quartenkirchenstrasse, Zurich. Original, first published in the magazine Geistige Welt. Next case. From www.glz, webpage, Katrin, died in a car accident. What happens to us after death? This question has always preoccupied people. Those who have already crossed the threshold from this world to the next can give an answer. The following experience report comes from a deceased person named Catherine. She describes through mediation what she experienced in the afterlife after her departure from the earth. Duration, 51 minutes audio, German/Deutsch, link, lecture by Catherine, the 6th of March 1968. Published in Spiritual World, 1980. Catherine, I have been commissioned to speak to you. I describe my departure from this world and my impressions during the first period of my retreat. I was called away from this world by a sudden death. My husband drove away with me and both children for the weekend, and the following accident occurred. We were driving on the main road, And not too long had passed since we left home, when a car came at us with great force. I still remember my husband's words, when he said, "Man, what's gotten into you?" We saw the accident coming towards us in great excitement, because this car was driving towards us at breakneck speed. And we, that is to say my husband, saw no way out. It happened so quickly, and then the collision was there. I didn't know any more. I had heard my husband's last words, which I had just said. Then the following happened: my little daughter, who was also called Catherine, and I died instantly. The other child was called Lisbeth and my husband was called Wilhelm. My husband was badly injured, Lisbeth was not injured. Greater than not the case talked on here only illustration greater than well. First I heard the words that were spoken around us or around me, but I couldn't see anything. I only heard that they said, "The two are dead. The older child is unharmed and the man seems to be badly injured." I heard that and a lot more, but I can't remember these words very well. But I also heard someone say, "It's best to take them to the morgue straight away." Then I was able to open my eyes, because at first I only heard but I saw nothing. When my eyes opened, I was frightened. I was lying on a stretcher, lifeless, and little Catherine was lying a little way away. I was still in a crouched position and suddenly I felt hands touching me, trying to get me up. But then I heard and saw who was around us. The police were there and the ambulance, there were cars there were people there, and I kept hearing, "Ayo, the two of them are dead." And then I said, "Ayo, no, you don't yet mean me, yet not dead." And I kept repeating, "Ayo, yet here, yet not dead." Then a figure spoke to me that was a stranger to me and that, it seems to me, did not belong to the people around me, because it did not look as human as the others. This person said to me, "Ayo, yes, you died, you perished. You can see your body here, it is dead." I replied, "Ayo, that's not true, yet here, yet alive." And then I saw the child too, and someone said to me, "Ayo, you see, little Catherine is dead too." I answered, "Ayo, it is impossible, that cannot be true, because I am here and I am alive. Why are you saying that I am dead?" But then I saw how they loaded my body into the car, along with little Catherine, and I was still standing there. I saw the car drive away, and I also saw how they drove my husband away. I stayed at the scene of the accident for a long time, but then the people gradually left and I was still standing there alone. Then I realized, "Ayo, yes, you did die." I remembered, a car had come towards us and we were very worried about it. But I could not believe that I could be dead, since I was there, since I could speak. How could I be dead? I could not understand that. Then they explained to me, "Ayo, your spirit has left your body. Your body is being given to the earth, but the soul, that which makes you alive, returns to the realm of life." Then I said, "Ayo, let me go. I would like to know how my husband is doing. I want to go to my husband." They answered me, "Ayo, if you like it and you want to follow your husband, you can do that." And I explained, "Ayo, if I am really dead, then I must also worry about my husband at TMS future." And I then followed the tracks of the car and found him in the hospital. I also looked after Lisbeth and I thought, "Ayo, what will happen to Lisbeth now?" Then I realized that my sister was looking after her. My sister took Lisbeth in and they were very sad and crying because I and little Catherine had died. I went to my sister at EMS house and wanted to see and hear what was going on. And so I also experienced my own funeral. Now I returned to the hospital for a while, and to my sister at EMS house for a while. And I had to keep going to the cemetery where my grave was. Little Catherine and I had been laid in the same grave. I saw how people visited the graves of their relatives from time to time or regularly. And I waited to see who would come and would now pay a visit to my grave. My sister came, but otherwise only a few. My parents also came now and then, but not so often. So I kept going back to the hospital where my husband was. I was so worried about his future, but I was also tormented by what would happen to my little Lisbeth. And I cried and lamented. When I was back at the cemetery, a strange being came towards me and asked me to leave this place now. I should now enter the spiritual realm, where I belong. Then I said that I would like to come there with him, but I still had tasks to fulfill on earth. But I was very restless, I didn't really know what to do. Should I now obey this being? I thought, yes, I can go with him sometime. And so I went with this being. It took me to a place that was completely foreign to me and asked me, wouldn't it you like to look after your little Catherine? Yes, of course, that was my wish too. I wanted to know how little Catherine was doing. But I was so restless. One time I said that I wanted to go to Catherine, another time I wanted to go to my sister, another time to my husband. I was just confused, so restless. This being saw that and offered to follow me to his house. There I could rest a little and get some strength. In the meantime, many things would calm down and the spiritual world would take care of my husband at TMS recovery. His injuries were not life-threatening and little Lisbeth would be fine too. I just had to come to terms with the new circumstances. Then I said, oh yes, I want to but I kept coming back to my home on earth. I thought I had to go there to see what was going on. Even though my husband wasn't at home, he was still in the hospital. A being who was a stranger to me accompanied me and made it clear to me more and more that it was actually pointless for me to concern myself with these things anymore. There were enough higher spiritual beings who would now be concerned about the future lives of my loved ones. So I let myself be persuaded again, and this being then led me to my little Catherine, where she lived. Now I had expected that little Catherine, when she saw me again for the first time, would immediately call for me and ask for me. But she just smiled when she saw me and took no further notice of me. I was disappointed. She was my child after all, and I expected her to show her full devotion to me. But I also noticed that the house and the surroundings where the child lived were very beautiful, and that she and all the others who lived here really lacked nothing. They had so many things to play with, and there were very elegant beings there who talked to all these children. They sang, played and made music with them. The children wore brightly colored dresses and had flower wreaths around their heads, which were often worn when playing. And my little Catherine was so excited by the huge variety of games and toys that were on offer, that she didn't have any particular desire for her mother. She was happy to see these beautiful beings playing with her. These beautiful beings were also dressed in very bright colors. In my opinion, it was too bright. I thought it was a bit tasteless, but it was a different world. Some of these beings also had jewelry on their arms and were decorated with colored ribbons. Half of their arms and legs were decorated with them, and they also wore rings around their necks. The little ones who played there had the greatest joy with these playmates or caregivers. My Catherine was 4 years old, but there were also younger children. These creatures, dressed in what I thought were all too colorful clothes, played with these little ones. These carers were completely attuned to them, they were so tender and so loving. And these children, only the smaller ones were allowed to do this, took the ribbons off them, took the rings off their arms and legs and played with them themselves. So I had to realize that this colorful outfit was actually intended as a game for the little ones. Over time, I was able to understand why these little ones no longer longed for their mothers, because they were offered so much variety, so many toys. There were also small animals that were available to them and that even played with them. And so these children seemed to be overjoyed. And it became clear to me that my little Catherine did not long for her mother. So I saw that Catherine was well looked after, she had such a wonderful life in such wonderful company and also enjoyed a good upbringing. This is what particularly struck me, the pleasant atmosphere. There was no rush, no reluctance, everything was so calm, comfortable, so peaceful, it was as if time played no role at all. So these little ones could thrive and grow in peace. They truly had the peace of an angel around them. So I didn't have to worry about Catherine. But my concern was Lisbeth and my husband. I now believed that it was my job to find a wife for Wilhelm, because Lisbeth had to have a mother again. And so I really went looking. I remembered my friend, she had a sister, and I thought that this sister could be a wife for Wilhelm. But I found out that this person in question already had a fiancé tilde copyright, and now am I believed that I was allowed to separate the two, because I was so selfish. At the time, of course, I didn't see this as a good idea, because I was only concerned about my family, my husband and my child. So I thought that my friend's sister was the right person. Then I tried to approach this groom. I learned how to do this from other spirit beings. I also went around in this earthly realm, went from one place to another, to my acquaintances, and I looked around the city. I wanted to convince myself whether I had really died by finding out how the others did it, whether they were all as obedient and now lived as spirits in the spiritual realm, or whether they didn't have the same desire as me to see what was happening on earth and to see what was right. I experienced many things and I wanted to be sure of all these things. So I saw all sorts of things. I saw evil figures with an evil influence on people, they approached them and tried to influence them, to win them over to a malicious idea. I saw how these malicious people wanted to lead people astray from the right path and did so. On the other hand, I also saw the noble beings, the angelic figures, who approached people. They approached them precisely when one of the malicious people had lingered with a person for a long time and had talked to them. Then the angel came and admonished the person and tried to talk him out of his evil thoughts. Then I saw how a person sometimes became uncertain and how he, as it is called in human language, got a bad conscience. Because one time he did what the malicious one whispered to him, then the good one came and told him, and then he didn't know. Should I do this, should I do that? He had become uncertain. Then I realized that it really always depends on the person himself. He always had to decide what he wanted to do. It seems to me just like when people are together and one says this and the other says the opposite, and the third doesn't really know who to believe, what is right and what is wrong, and in the end he has to make the decision himself about what he believes, what is right or what he must do. The spirit beings did the same thing, they spoke to people and influenced them, but the decision always lay with the person themselves. Then I realized that it always depended on what the person was inclined to, what his nature was like. I had observed this closely because I wanted to learn from it, I wanted to achieve something. So I observed these things and saw that some people were gullible and easily persuaded, while others were weak-willed. But I also saw some who were stubborn. I saw how angels of God spoke to such people and tried to convince them, and how their stubbornness did not allow them to accept what they were told. So one and the same observation could be made throughout the whole course of a person's life. For example, if a person showed a certain generosity in all things, a spirit could count on this generosity. That if he could win this person over to something, he would express generosity in this too. So it always depended on the person's own way, on the true nature of the person. So the spirits tried to speak to them, the good ones did this as well as the bad ones. The good ones tried to distract someone from their opinion, to dissuade them if it was wrong, and the bad ones tried their own when they saw that a person was inclined to do what was good, to promote what was good. Now, over time, I have discovered how to proceed in order to convince people, to win them over to an idea. But I was not the only one who paid attention to people and learned from them. Others did it too, and the man who did this had something in mind and wanted to use it for his own personal benefit. And so I knew my husband's nature and I believed that he could be influenced. But first I tried to cause discord between the two bride and groom because I wanted to separate them. My friend's sister was to become my husband's wife and I could not support these two in harmony and love. So I used a forbidden tactic because I believed that it would be for my personal family benefit. But then, when I set about filling this man with jealousy and making him reproach his bride, I was warned that this was not appropriate. It was neither fair nor my job to do such a thing and I would be punished if I committed such an injustice. I had no right to use force to separate and influence two people who lived in harmony with each other. If I were a good spirit, I would not do that. If I continued to exert my influence despite the warning, then my way to the children's paradise, to my little Catherine, would be blocked in the future. Then I complained and said that I had to find a wife for my husband under all circumstances. But I was told that this was not my concern. My husband would look for a wife himself, without me. I stuck to my opinion. But I said, okay, I don't want to bother and influence this fiancé tilde copyright anymore. But as often as I could, I stayed near the two of them. I was well aware that I was not allowed to exert my influence on them. But I still believed that there was somehow an opportunity to draw my husband's attention to my friend's sister. And so I then occupied myself with my husband. I influenced his thinking. I repeatedly reminded him that he should think about my friend's sister. I tried it this way and believed that I was doing nothing wrong. But I had to realize that my husband had no interest in my friend's sister at all. He did think of her, thanks to my strength and influence, but not with the intention that I had. Then the time came when my husband was released from the hospital. He had had to stay there for quite a long time, and what happened in the meantime I have explained to you in detail. So my husband could now go home again, but my daughter stayed with my sister. Now it seemed quite natural for my husband to look for a new wife. He had his acquaintances and friends from before, and so he also came into the company of young girls. But none of them seemed good enough for me, and I kept trying to distract him from that. But now I had to realize that he had formed the firm idea and the firm will to marry a girl he knew. I did not agree with that. Now I went up to my husband. I was always near him from time to time. I was still tied to him and to the house and to everything that was on earth. I had not been dead for very long. But then I was reprimanded very forcefully and was forbidden to enter my husband's house. I was made to understand clearly that this was the last time I would ever think about this. It was not my business to look for a wife for my former husband. He had to decide according to his own will and was responsible for his choice. It was none of my business. I was a little sad about it, but I had to submit to this strict order. I had to obey, because I was told that this would be the last time I would be warned. If I did not obey, I would be punished by being barred from further entry to the children's paradise. So I thought, good, I will now leave it to God and his helpers to find the right path and prepare it. And so I said, I trust in God and his help, and I will not return until I am allowed to. They seemed to be satisfied with my decision. These higher spirits could see that I was not really serious and asked me to follow them. I really needed to rest a little, because I had been overcome with a lot of grief. They understood that. Only a short time had passed since the accident and I was still too closely connected to what had happened. I must now try to detach myself from it a little. So they recommended that I go with them and stay in a house for a certain amount of time where I could rest. They would give me a strength and I would be able to sleep, and after sleep all these things would look different. And so I obeyed, because I felt weak and uncertain. Because I always wanted to go back, I was simply drawn back, and on the other hand I wanted to be obedient. So I went with these angelic beings. They led me into a house, into a large room. There was a pleasant atmosphere in it, and I smelled such a pleasant smell. I was given something to eat, which I gladly accepted, and then I could sleep. I did not know how long I had slept. After I woke up, I no longer cared about the time. I felt completely different, free and happy. I no longer felt bound to what I had left behind. The memory was still in my mind, but I no longer had such a longing as before. I felt truly strengthened by this sleep. When I woke up, I was again offered something to refresh me, and my strength was strengthened even more. And now am I wanted to adapt to this new world. Of course I had not forgotten where my little Catherine was. I wanted to know if she had needed sleep too. They said yes and said, "Ayo," but it was not like with you. When she came to us from Earth, They also gave her something to refresh and calm her down, but she only slept for a short time. Then she was looked after, as you saw. You could see for yourself that she was feeling quite well. But since she is still so small, she still needs sleep now and then, and so she is laid to rest by the angels of God. So I should not worry about her anymore. I saw that everything was in perfect order. My concern for my husband and the little one I had left behind on earth was no longer so great. I still felt a great attachment to them, but it was like this: when I woke up from my sleep, my relatives who had already died were standing next to me, greeting me, happy and willing to check on my family and tell me about them now and then. They told me that I should stay calm and feel happy in my current world. I no longer had to worry about everything I had left behind. The angelic beings who were in God's order and would see to it that everything was right were now responsible for that. So I had confidence, and the joy of welcoming my relatives was great. I invited them to accompany me to the children's paradise, to my Catherine. I told them about the splendor, the how these children are cared for and looked after, and how they have no longing for their earthly parents because they are offered so much variety. Then an angel spoke to me about my future activities. He said that I would also have to be assigned a job, and since I was a young mother with a child in the children's paradise, I was recommended to work in a children's paradise. They would also have to keep an eye on things, and all the many objects and toys that were needed for the little ones would also have to be made. If I agreed to such a task, I could take on a job there. I immediately asked, "Can I be near my little one then?" To which I was told, "Not very close at the moment, but you will always have the opportunity to watch her playing and also during her lessons. Because she will grow and she will be taught at school. You can't always live in play and joy. When the children grow up and get bigger, you take them to another children's paradise, with bigger children of the same age, to teach and educate them together." I agreed to all of this. I was happy if I could only see the little one from time to time, how she grew up and how she lived. And it was a great joy for me to make this visit together with my relatives. We talked at length. I was able to find out that my little one was not longing for her mother, but that she was feeling quite well. I was also told that she would not be staying in this paradise for much longer, but would soon be taken to another one and taught there with children her own age. But I was satisfied. I was allowed to see her, and she had truly been carefully brought up. My relatives told me about their work and the peace they had found in the spiritual world, and that they were very happy to be living here now. We promised to visit each other now and then. And then we had to say goodbye again. But my relatives then brought me news from time to time about what was happening on Earth. I had certainly let go of all that, but I had always asked that my little Lisbeth, whom I had left behind, would get a good mother. And so it was my relatives on Earth, especially my parents, who looked after their granddaughter. And then, later, I was told that my husband had remarried and taken Lisbeth in, that the grandparents were exerting their good influence on the woman. The grandparents also urged my child to remember his mother in heaven, not to forget her. So I kept getting news of how my family on earth was doing. And so I still do my job, alternating between working in the children's paradise where the very little ones are, and then I am needed in another one where my job is of a slightly different nature. So I have a wonderful job. I still do this job. I don't know what is still waiting for mine. A spirit of God told me that the first thing to do now was to fill my whole being with love and a willingness to make sacrifices, and that the children's paradise was particularly suitable for me. That you could adapt your being to the angels who work there. You could learn so much here and be influenced by the great peace, devotion and sacrifice. I should be filled with this, then I would have a corresponding task later on where I could develop what I had grasped in this heaven and what I was permeated with. My whole being should therefore be filled with great devotion and tenderness. And that is what I had to tell you, about the life that I am living now and which impresses me, and how it was for me, how at first I could not believe that I had died. And if you are interested in knowing how long it has been since I entered the spiritual world through the accident, I personally could not calculate it because I no longer have a measure of time like you do, but I was told that according to your calculations it was only about 8 years ago. So, as I believe and as I was told, an important and beautiful task awaits me that I can fulfill in God's plan of salvation. So I would like to say goodbye to you with a God bless you.